morning, everyone. Just a few details we have to take care of here this morning before we get started, but it's good to see a nice group out this morning. Great day, July the 18th of the year of our Lord 2021. God has a purpose in this day. I trust that you are seeking that, that I am seeking that, and that we'll be excited about fulfilling what he has for us in our lives today. Welcome to our services. It's good to be here together. Shall we stand this morning and we're going to sing number 352 in our hymnals, or it's on the screen. I hope today that we are all people of hope this morning in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate hope that we have. And I think today we ought to be sure to remind ourselves of that and sing this out to our Lord today to acknowledge it. So let's join our voices in song 352. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me, paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. Standing. Amen for our invocation. Our Father in heaven, we come today humbly before your throne and yet with great joy and exuberance over the hope that we have in your precious Son, Jesus Christ, in his work on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. We know that your word says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And yet, Lord, he died specifically for all of us here today if we will receive him. And so today, Lord, we thank you that your relationship is not a blanket thing that applies to just unknown faces and numbers, but is a personal thing that applies to the hearts of individual people. So we thank you for that today, Lord, and we praise your name. We praise you for who you are. What a magnificent and awesome God. Now today, Lord, in a personal way, we do understand there are people struggling with loss of loved ones, with critical ailments, Lord, critical sin issues, hurt hearts, missing pieces of life. And yet today, Lord, you are here for us. You understand that man chose and the world became broken, but you can make it whole. And Lord, we look forward to our future eternal home for those, again, that have been born again in Christ Jesus through your blood. Father, we look forward to what you have for us for all eternity. Help us today, Lord, to operate with joy, We give you thanks and we offer this service now, Lord, to you for your praise and glory. May this be a day when you move in the hearts of people and your spirit have free reign today at Fruitland Baptist Church. I pray these things now in that most powerful and wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we have another hymn today, number 546, or it's on the screen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is a good time to search our hearts as we prepare for the message today, and that we would get our focus on his face today. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? You see, there's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The thing of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, him there sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you so much, Lord, and thank you to you folks for our singing together to him today. Well, at this time, I focus you on our right-hand column here in our bulletins, but also on the screen. I believe it's there as well. Quickly, some announcements. That's the word I'm searching for this morning. For the upcoming week and the days ahead, should the Lord tarry. Tonight, our evening message, I believe it is the last part of this. Part four, why would anyone want to join a church? Pretty interesting topic. And some thought there that will be beneficial for all of us as to the situation we find ourselves in God's church. Also a reminder, there is a fellowship on the 25th, that's next Sunday, that follows our morning service, followed by an early evening service, next Sunday, the 25th. A VBS meeting next Saturday, the 24th, 11 to 2, this is for going door to door to invite, and also you can go out at any time and invite people. And or it doesn't even have to be door to door, but however you can find people and kids, we're going to be excited for what God has in store. I surely am praying that we'll see a large number of kids. You know, it hasn't been too many years ago we'd have 60 or 70 kids for Vacation Bible School. There's no reason we still can't do that. We have a community here that has a lot of kids in it. And so I'm excited that we'd be able to introduce some young folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so make that a priority. Also, August 6th, 7th, and 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m., decorate classrooms for VBS. Today at 4:30, child worker training class. This is very important. It is mandatory. And it will be accomplished in about an hour and 15 minutes thereabouts. So please come to that if you're going to work with children. The only exclusion there is if you're kitchen help or registering, only doing registrations and so forth at the door. But if you're physically teaching or working with children, this class is mandatory, but also it wouldn't hurt for everyone that's going to be involved to take this class. And that's not only for Bible school, but it's for the upcoming year if you're going to work with children. Okay? Then Wilton Bible Study on this coming Thursday, 6 p.m. Women's Bible Studies, there you have the 26th at 6, August 23rd at 6. And consult Beth Martin. She is not here, I don't believe, this morning if you have questions. Men's Bible Study, 24th, August 7th and 21st. Doug's going to be leading that class this coming Saturday. And until Denny returns, we'll do our best to keep that coming. And I want to invite men. You will not be sorry that you came and spent an hour today or that day out in Fellowship Hall around God's Word with other men. So put that on a priority list. You'll see my thought for the week. It's a little bit different. You might want to think about it a little. I am somewhat humorous about things too, but there's an undercurrent of truth in what I said. You may not get it. Ask me later. I'll explain it. Is there anything else we need to announce? Okay, then at this time, we're glad for everyone that's here today. The Baggetts, good to see you today. And always glad for everyone that comes through our doors here. Thankful today if you're visiting with us. We certainly want to make you feel welcome. We do love people here at Fruitland, and we do love the Lord. And so this can very easily make yourselves feel at home here in the presence of God's people and in the presence of Jesus Christ. But as we prepare today for our message from the Word, we also have this time when we have an opportunity to worship the Lord in our giving. And we don't pass a plate at this time, but there are receptacles in the back. No one is ever forced to do anything here. But we understand that there may be people that are excited today about what God's done in their life, and they want to worship Him in a material way. So that option is always open, and God's Word governs that. But we're going to ask God today to bless the gift and the giver, and to prepare our hearts now as the ladies and musicians play for just a moment for a time of Bible study and worship here to follow. Turn your hearts and my heart toward the Lord Jesus this morning and give Him adoration and praise. So let's pray together, and then we'll proceed. Father, thanks again for this day and for the purpose of it. Lord, today I pray that You would quiet my heart. It's been a very hectic morning. Sometimes those things Satan uses to derail me. And I think that's probably the case with everyone here. We face many challenges, maybe we already have today, but also possibly this week, Lord. We know there are critical things that are going on in people's lives. I want to pray to begin with today, Lord, for the folks that aren't here that normally maybe would be. They may be vacationing today. There could be other reasons, illness, grief, depression, all kinds of things that enter into the human heart. But we pray for all those people. But we thank You for those that have come. Thank You, Lord, that maybe for some that haven't been around for a while, they're reconnected a little bit here. And we thank You for that today. Father, again, thank You for the goodness that You make so obvious in our very presence. And Lord, forgive us when we have turned a deaf ear to You and Your desires and to the presentation that You make before us of Your presence. Lord, help us, I pray. We struggle. I struggle, Lord. We live in a broken world that becomes more and more difficult every day. But Lord, You are the one and the source where we can go for hope. Now today, Lord, again, acknowledging that You give us all good things. And now as You direct the hearts to hilariously give back to You, Lord, And Father, there could be those that are in deep need today, too, that you would supply their needs through your riches and glory. But Father, that you'd bless the gift and the giver, again, for the heart's desire to give back to you. Lord, bless our time now to follow in the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. I actually could just sit right there and listen to them play for a while longer. How about you this morning? Amen. Well, we're blessed with a favored solo here from Sharon today. Sharon, what's God laid on your heart for us today?
Well, the Lord has laid it upon my heart to sing, "Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, You'll Find Jesus." Are there crosses too heavy to carry, and burdens too heavy to bear? Are there heartaches and tears and anguish, and no one seems to care? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Are there shadows of deep disappointment and trust that have proven untrue? Has the darkness of night settled round you? Has your hope and your faith waver too? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Has the storm overshadowed your sunshine and life lost attraction for you? Have the dreams that you cherished been broken? Is your soul filled with bitterness too? standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail print in his hand.
Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon. You know, I just have to add this before I start. Some of you know that I've caretaken the Klein Cemetery for many, many years, and I finished mowing that yesterday. And a few of you have come up there to visit me when I've been mowing. Jeff Hendricks knows this. There's a lot of characters that surprise you that come out of the shadows up there. Jason's met some of the folks, the hipsters, that I worked with out there too. But I was thinking yesterday, sometimes you look up and you think a monument, that there's someone standing there. But, you know, one day we'll meet Jesus. We'll either see him face to face as he comes for his people, or we're going to see him when we are translated through death into his presence. But he's there, isn't he, today? Let's not leave him in the shadows, though. He is the Son of God. He's the light of the world. Let's let him come out. But we'll see him, and you know, that's why we're here today. We're here to praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him and love him because he loved us first. Anyway, we better get started this morning. And greetings to one and all. Good to see a nice group out today as always. Let me just ask you a little favor this morning. Look around this morning and see who's missing. See someone maybe you haven't seen for a while. And pray for them this week or give them a call. Let them know you care. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting. Some people are on the run from God and other things. All types of situations. This morning, a lady called Kim early that normally would be here. She lost her dog yesterday. There's all kinds of things that people are in need of. And we need to be friends and we need to show them our concern at all times. Greetings to everyone this morning. Glad for everyone that's here. We always can use more people, can't we? Not to have big numbers, but we want to see people come for Jesus, don't we? And so don't forget also to invite people. We're going to be working on reemphasizing and making a few changes for our Sunday school program for the fall. And I look forward to seeing that re-energized. We've not been the same since COVID. And I just pray that you'll be excited about the opportunity to learn. Well, enough of my babbling this morning. By the way, someone gave me another jar of whorehounds. I do have a scratchy throat. It has not been touched or opened, but I will throw this out. Dean, I'm going to throw it to you first. If you want a whorehound today, we do have little treats here at Fruitland that are not like every place else. But it's brand... Oop. That would have made news. Local parishioner injured by an object thrown by the nasty pastor. Also, this morning after I pray, I was told by the powers that be to sit down today. That I will comply with that, but when they tell me to shut up, to sit down and shut up, that may bring some difficulties. But let's go to prayer. This is part two of our message that we began last week. How low can it go? Sodom and Gomorrah revisited. We'll pick up the context there today. I'll try to fill you in briefly, and we'll see what God has in store from his word. Shall we pray together? Father, may you bless our time today in the word. We know this, Lord, that you that sin is not something you ever wished would happen. But it has, and it did, and you knew it would, Lord. You saw that in your providential superintendence over all things, but you made a way, Lord, of escape through your Son, Jesus, for our sakes, that we might be able to be reconnected with you. And, Lord, because our sin, Our disobedience to you separates us from you. Lord, this is a critical issue that abounds in our world and always has. It ebbs and flows from different times and moves to different categories. But we know it's a serious thing as we think about S words, that sin is very serious. You hate it, but you love the sinner. Lord, help us, though, to avoid the pitfalls and, Lord, the destruction that go along with sin. Again, sin that's not brought under the blood of Christ will be paid for by the person that has committed it. And according to your word, that penalty is eternal death. When that entered into the picture, my things changed. There is a reason, Lord, today to look at what you have to say and to look at your face. So I pray you'll bless us now, Lord, in our time. And Lord, again, I'm the weak link in this chain. As always, I need your help. But as we progress through this study of one of the times when your grace ran out in Sodom and Gomorrah and your mercy, help us, Lord, not to take things lightly or flippantly or to gamble again with your grace. And I pray these things will motivate us today out of love to reach out to people, as we would not want to see anyone end up in the lake of fire. I pray these things and for your power today, the Holy Spirit, not only in the preaching, but in the movement of the people. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. All right, I'm going to sit down. That's very hard for me to do. But last week we began to examine some of the facts that surround God's grace and his mercy. And so today we're going to pick up the context by going to Genesis 13, verses 10 through 13, as we explore and examine what happened to two cities that were south of the Dead Sea. They are no longer on the map. This is believed to be where they were. There's no evidence left of them because God literally incinerated them because of their wickedness. And we mentioned last week that there are several examples in Scripture where God has a limit. And he has exercised that limit to bring destruction on the sins of man. One of those was the flood. And so just a little further down the line from that time, now we find ourselves here in these days of Sodom and Gomorrah and what took place there in the time of Abraham and his nephew Lot. Anyway, we learned that God has much forbearance for people, but that we should never take it lightly and realize that he is a sovereign and righteous God and has a right to do whatsoever he will. I mentioned last week that I believe that we live in a nation today that not only condones sin, but also endorses it. But I don't believe that that's anything new. I think it's ebbed and flowed from time to time. We've had some great privileges here in the United States. And I guess that leads into our text this morning that we're going to look at. But, you know, when we're given privileges and wonderful blessings, we have a necessity to recognize those things and to be good stewards of the blessings, the manifold blessings of God. And one of the things that you'll see when cultures or people fall is when they begin to take God's blessings for granted and their hearts become out of tune with the Savior. So we're going to look at that. We're going to explore what actually happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities. There is a history about the king of Sodom. You can read about him in Scripture. He's also found in the book of Genesis. But we're going to begin that context today where I believe it all went downhill. And understand that the place that ended up being wiped off the map, off the face of the earth, at one time was a very much recipient of God's blessings. So without further ado, we're going to begin this morning. And I believe, again, the basis of this here is when a heart becomes not focused on God. When a heart becomes not focused on God, and we lose that idea of the benefits and the stewardships of the blessings of God, is when we get into trouble. Maybe today, and you know, I'm very open about my life. I struggle with many of these issues. I think we're all in the same boat here today, don't you? I really do. And, you know, we're just this far away from slipping. No, I'm not teaching we can lose our salvation. The Bible doesn't say that. But we're always in danger of slipping away from God when we fail to acknowledge his goodness toward us. Jeff, will you really get mad if I stand this morning? He probably will. Kay, you'd get mad? I've never seen you. Well, I have seen you mad a few times. But it's always a very gracious mad. Kim, you have the final word. Sit. Okay. Woodrow says stand. No. Okay. I'll take that into consideration. All right, Genesis 13, 10 through 13. Here's the background on Sodom and Gomorrah. Autumn, I would take one of those if you can spare it. Sure. You can never say I don't share. Here it is, Abraham and Lot. By the way, God told them both to do what early on? He told Abraham first, get away from your people. Now, you know, we all love family, don't we? But let me just say this. There is a time you need to separate from families. Even God told that to Adam and Eve. Thank you, Autonom. Appreciate that. I really do. Anyone want to need a second round? Okay. We'll keep them maintained here for further use. Thank you, too, Autumn, for the gracious gift of those to begin with. Well, isn't that what the Lord told Adam and Eve? And what he told, what's found in the book of Matthew? A man needs to leave what? And a woman her home for the marriage relationship to be strong. Doesn't mean you abandon your family, but go where God leads you. Don't get too yoked up with things because it's really the doctrine of separation. We need to be separated unto God and let loose of some of this human baggage that we deal with. I mean, can't we all admit this morning we're dealing with some human baggage? Maybe there's people today here that need to make a break. He told Abraham, get away. Old nephew Lot was still along, but here today we're going to see that breakup start. But here's what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. I take you to the text. Abraham, wasn't he a good uncle? He said, nephew, we're going to separate today, but you're going to get the choice of what way to go. Now, how would that normally happen in most relationships that way? Abraham, being the elder, would have said, we're going to separate today, but I'm going to go this direction, and you're going that direction. But not Abraham, because Abraham did what? He trusted God. He believed God. He was slow getting around to where he should have been, but he did it God's way. He says, nephew, take your choice. Here it is. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. By the way, Zoar, write that down. We're going to hear about that later if we get that far today. Zoar means small or little. There used to be a little church up north of Grinnell called Zoar Church. It's now closed and gone, no longer an active congregation. But it was on the top of a hill. Kim and I went by that one day, and I pointed it out to her, and it was a little church, Zoar. Anyway, here's what happened. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. So what did Lot do? He looked and he saw, hey, this is good ground. Things look good here. The idea here is these plains where Sodom and Gomorrah were at one time were a beautiful place. By God's grace and mercy, good stuff. And Lot says, yeah, I'm going to go with that. Uncle Abraham can go whatever he wants, but he's given me the choice. Can't you just hear him thinking, if he's fool enough to not take it himself, I'll do it. You've all been in those kind of situations before, too. Our choices, while they may look good on the surface sometimes, are not maybe the way God wants us to go. By the way, folks, a little Bible quiz. What does the counsel of the Word of God say when you have a choice? This is what it says, basically. It says, defer to others the better, and you take the least. Isn't that what Jesus said when you go to some home for a meal? Don't sit in the best chair. Go to the lowest chair and wait and ask. Let them ask you to go move up. Goes against all the teachings of man. By the way, Proverbs, I'm having a block. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's faulty thinking. Help me on that, folks. Proverbs 14:12, I think. I'm having a tough day on that today. Maybe it is, Matt. You look it up. You'll get it. It's right there somewhere. But that's how people work, isn't it? If you're given a choice, you take the better. Because you're only thinking of who? Yourself. And you're not thinking through the consequences of how things tend to work out. By the way, most of you know that I always am a proponent of hard work and knowing how things work, nuts and bolts. Because I'll tell you what, that's the way you learn about things and how you grow. I'm always a believer that that's the right way to go about things. But anyway, Lot took the easy thing. He chose the good stuff. And Abram at this time dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And notice here in verse 12, very important, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now let's read the next verse and then we'll back up. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God knows about our sin. We'll see that here in a little bit. But God is taking special note when things reach a certain limit with sin. And it's as a result of the pain and the sorrow and the bad thing. I shouldn't be pointing like that. That it brings upon people and God hears their cry. But what does this tell us? A couple of things about Lot. First of all, Lot was in this for himself. And secondly, Lot's heart. And by the way, we know that Lot was saved, don't we? We know that he was saved. We'll see that coming up later. But Lot was a guy who was living apart from a personal walk with the God of the Bible. He was living in the flesh and for the flesh. And you notice he pitched his tent facing Sodom. The focus of his life, again, was on what was taking place there, not on the blessings of the God of the Bible. So here's the history of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were a wonderful place. Beautiful. Says like the Garden of Eden, basically, right? Well, as we see here in that last verse, in verse 13, they had forgotten the blessings of God, and they became focused on the wickedness and the forces of God's adversary, Satan. And it led to trouble. So that's one thing to remember today. If it's going too easy for you, be careful. Because that's when it's the most dangerous. Separation unto God. Very important doctrine taught in the Scriptures. So there we have it. Sodom and Gomorrah was a wonderful place. It's south of the Dead Sea. And of course, Lot made his choice. But he was more focused on his own pleasure and his own well-being and the wickedness of Sodom than he was God. I might just add this today as we're thinking about that this is today a barren place. Some people have thought they've found a few remains of it, but I think the bulk of the consensus there are no remains of it. Because God, when he destroys something, he does it what? Completely. He wipes it off the map, and I think that is the case with Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is a result of when God's grace and mercy run out. Let me tell us all today, unequivocally, that when God's mercy and grace run out on us, it will not be a good thing. They will not run out on the born-again believer, my friends, at least in the eternal sense. But if we, again, are living a life that is focused on sin and focused on Sodom, so to speak, in our lives, or that ilk, my friends, there will be a price to pay, and there could be total destruction. You know, the Bible does say there is a sin unto death. And I do believe that, what it says. I believe there could be a time in our lives, there could be a time when God says, that's the last one. And now I'm going to take you home, even as a believer, because I will not let you hurt yourself further or cause destruction to my cause. Never take that lightly, folks. We still live under that today. What a thing to be called home. And I'm talking about myself. I'm thinking, John, you better get your act together. Well, I'll tell you, it's a warning for all of us. Don't gamble on God's grace and mercy. But that what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah with total destruction is a picture of what happens when God's grace and mercy run out on a person or on a place and a people. All right, enough said there. Normally, if we'd have a little more of a question and answer session here if this was an evening service. But now I'd like you to turn over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. And I know you won't let me stand up, but I'd sure like to. You know, our God, the God of the Bible, is an awesome God. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ has always existed. And what you're going to see here is one of several places in the Bible, and it's called a theophany, but it's a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus, not a vision, but an actual presence of Jesus Christ. He appears now as a man, it says. These were angels that were with him, but he came and appeared unto Abram. Wouldn't that be something? Well, let me tell you, Jesus has always existed, and he always will. He is God Almighty, but he is also the Son of God. And so that's the context that we find. And does anyone remember what the message was that they brought? By the way, the name for angel is angelos in the Greek, and it always means a messenger. When angels are on site, God has a message. And that was the case here. Now, little history. What was the message they brought to Abraham and Sarah? I thought I heard that. It was a confirmation that Sarah, at the ripe old age of 90, was going to have a child. A miraculous event that was promised to Abraham and Sarah. You can read about that whole context. And they came and they announced it, and of course Sarah laughed, and they said, why did you laugh? And because she was lacking faith. She said, well, how can someone my age have anything like this happen? Well, it did happen. And interestingly enough, they named the child, whose name was Isaac, which means laughter. Isn't that interesting? But God worked a miracle. And God does that. But let's go down today. You can read that in verses 1 through 15, record of this theophany. But we're going to see where it went after that announcement from those angels, one who I believe was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. And that takes us down to verse 16, and it says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So Sodom was going to, it was a focus also of why they came. And there was a message here that's being sent in their arrival and in the things that were going to be enacted because of that. And Abraham was going to, again, direct them toward that city. I'm not sure that Abraham recognized who these angels were. I think they appeared to him as men on a mission. But he said, I'm going to point you toward Sodom. But verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Again, these men were on a mission. And because Abraham was a close friend of God, God was going to reveal to Abraham what was going to come down. Aren't you thankful today that God's revealed a lot of the things that are going to come down from his word? Many things that already have, but knowing this, that what has come down previously as it being God's word will also come down what is predicted or prophesied to come down in the future. It's worth listening to what God has to say. Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God knew the heart of Abraham. By the way, it wasn't a perfect heart, but it was a heart that was a saved heart because he had believed God by faith. And that's all that is required for our salvation, folks. Belief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so God's saying, I'm going to let Abraham know what's going on here because he has a big stake in my future plans, he and his people. He needs to know what's going on because, ironically, this is always going to be a battle over sin and the issues that take place because of it. Verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. God knew Abraham wasn't perfect, but he knew he was a man that he would be able to use and that he could trust, again, to carry out his mission. Now, let's pay attention to verse 20 in particular here. And I have to check my notes. And again, folks, this is difficult. I'm used to standing when I speak. So things look different here this morning. Anyway, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. So he's going to tell Abraham, look, what's going on down there is not good. I mentioned earlier, God knows every one of our hearts today. He knows our sin. He knows our struggles with sin. He knows that Pastor John struggles with wrong things. He knows that all of us have our areas here that cause trouble. But never forget this, sin always causes pain, and sin causes people to cry, both with tears and to cry out from the pain. What was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah in those two cities was grievous sin that caused pain and hurt, and people were crying out because of it. Now, we don't know just exactly what all took place there in graphic detail, but we know this, that when there is sin involved, there is going to be someone that's going to be hurt in the process. Someone taken advantage of. Never forget that, John, all of us today. Our sin has effects on others. It's not all about us. We learned that already from Lot. But there is pain that will be caused by others when we commit sin that they will bear a price for. Sometimes innocent people, sometimes not. But the whole thing about sin is there's going to be pain. And do you see what God said there when he was going to tell Abraham? He says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. Now, I could be accused here today about preaching about this particular issue and say, well, what about all the other sins? You heard me last week. All sin is not good. I'm not focusing on homosexuality, which I believe was the sin. By the way, liberal people today have said, well, he wasn't preaching against that. He was preaching against, and I'm sorry to use the graphic terms, the gang rape that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, God's opposed to rape too. But he's opposed to that. And folks, many sins are delineated in the Bible. There's a reason. But let me also say this, sin is sin to God. Even though there are possibly degrees of punishment for sin. That's God's business. That's Jesus' business, because he is the one that will adjudicate what takes place at the great white throne judgment. By the way, if you show up at the great white throne judgment, you're in trouble. Because you know what? That judgment is about people's works. Unsaved people's works. Trying to say, I've done this or I've been such. And Jesus is going to say, depart. You're going to have to leave because I don't know you. See, you've tried to enter heaven on your merit, not on my merit. Jesus doesn't cast them into hell. People have made their own choice. But I do believe this, because there is a judgment, Jesus has every right to adjudicate our sin with the degrees of punishment. There may be parts of hell that are worse than others, but let me tell you, none of it will be good. By the way, Sodom and Gomorrah is a picture of hell. Fire and brimstone. You've heard me preach on it before. Not enough. But it's not a pleasant place. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. We need to take that into account, folks, because of our sin. A lustful thought. Stealing from our employer. Or the sin that's mentioned here in these cities is all sin before God. And we need the Savior, folks. And he loves us to boot. He's willing to forgive. If we're willing to what? Acknowledge that we need him. Anyway, very grievous. So what we're saying here is this is something God doesn't like. Let me just say this. I believe this, that the sins that God really is upset about the most are the ones that strike at his planned purpose for his capstone of creation, which is who? Humanity. When you tinker around with the things that he has ordained and you begin to call them or do those things in perverted ways, because God really, man is made in his image, you see. And when we blaspheme him through those kind of things, that doesn't fly with God. Sometimes in the Bible it's called an abomination, or like in this case, grievous. These things tear at the heart of God when man messes around with his creative splendor. Be careful about that with all sin. Anyway, God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. God knows and knew what was going on, but he was going to go down personally and see what it was like. He wanted to see what all was going on there with people. You know, folks, even today as a saved person, we drag the Holy Spirit with us in our sin. The third person of the Godhead. Verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So two of the angels went on, right, headed for Sodom. Now, I believe that here Abraham does acknowledge that it was the Lord. I don't know for sure, but the point is, he was having a conversation with one. It may be just telling us in this verse that this was the Lord of the three, Jesus, that he was talking to. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What Abraham is bringing into play here, he's saying, you know, God, I've known how you worked in my life. You've been gracious to me. You seem to be a gracious God. Can we admit today God is gracious? He said, this isn't your personality. You go the extra mile with people. Remember, we looked at that word last week, forbearance. You think God was still gracious even in this situation? Remember last week we learned what? How many souls in the days of Noah? Eight. He preserved eight souls out of all the rest. And so Abraham is questioning here the angel of the Lord, Jesus here. He says, let me ask you, Lord, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? You see, Abraham was saying to me, Lord, from how you've operated in the past, I would think you'd spare that city for at least 50 people. And the answer? And of course he says in 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. This is not how you operate, God. You're long-suffering. That's your pattern. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? That's pretty bold stuff Abraham came to him with. But the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. As I mentioned last week, and I'm talking about America, but I'm talking about the whole world in our situation today. We may sink a lot further because of God's grace. If people don't turn around, God is long-suffering. But don't gamble with it, because he can do whatever he wants. You heard that already last week. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. By the way, how do you view this today? I know how I get into trouble with satanic-inspired thinking. I say, they deserve it. Let them have it. But that's not what God thinks, is it? We ought to stay, and we ought to continue to live in a righteous way, separated unto God, because you know what? That could have a part in saving America from or this world from destruction, because God, by his grace, would spare us, and because of that, other people's lives would be spared that they might be saved too. See, the kind of thinking we're talking there is just like with Lot. We're thinking about us, but we're not thinking about others. By the way, Lord, be gracious, continue to be, that America might turn around and be saved, that it would repent. Our attempt at holy living can make a difference before God and with others. And Abraham answered, 27, and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham understood his place. But he's having this dialogue here with Jesus. He says, peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. In other words, 45. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will what? I'll give them the pass. I'll not destroy it. And he spoke again unto him and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. You get the idea now with the message. How low will you go? Verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Remember, excuse me, God previously in the flood saved and kept the people out of destruction down to 8 people for his sake. Here he's saying, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find 10 righteous people there. That is a picture of the grace of God. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Well, there's a picture of the theophany and the preparatory work here that took place before God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's turn over to Genesis 19 for just a few minutes. We're going to start this as we see how this takes place. Verse 1 says, and there came two angels to Sodom at the even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, I don't know exactly how this all took place, but I believe Lot knew that he was in the presence of God's angels. It's interesting to note, too, that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Do you know what that showed about Lot? He was a big guy in Sodom. He was the big dog on the log. Now, the Bible says that Lot was righteous. He was declared to be righteous. He was saved by faith. But Lot was backslidden away from God. He was involved. He was complicit with what was taking on in the city of Sodom. Because if he wasn't, if he was standing up, he wouldn't be sitting in the gate as a big man. By the way, folks, biblical Christians may be tempted today to be complicit about many of the sin issues that are going on in our culture. In fact, I'm going to lay it on the line like it is. In the last 20, 30, 40 years, biblical Christianity has looked on while things have taken place, and in many cases, we've been complicit with it. Maybe right in our families, we say, I don't want to raise any ruckus. I've heard a lot of people tell me over the years, I won't be at church this Sunday, Pastor. My family's in town, and they don't want to come to church, so I'm gonna just get along because I love my family. If you love your family, you're going to tell them the truth in love. I understand, but you see, folks, that's the position we get into with this stuff called sin. God does not endorse it, neither should we. But just as God, we must work in spite of it. By the way, I don't think you'll lose your family if you operate in love. They may choose to do what they're going to do, but they will not respect you if you go their way and you don't go God's way. It has a factor and a force. But here he is, sitting at the gate. He was complicit with the sins of these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. He did acknowledge those angels. And I'm just going to go a minute or two further here because I know we got to go. Can we come back next week, Lord willing? This is good stuff. Read ahead. And he said, behold now, my Lord's turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Lot says, come to my place. Why do you think he was in a hurry to get him to come to his house? I believe this. In the Greek, it's backed up again too. Angels are of what gender? Male gender. Again, what we are talking about, and that's where this whole word Sodom comes from, we are talking about male homosexuality. We have young ears here today, but you understand what I'm talking about, right? But Lot was in a hurry to get these guys in the house. Interestingly, though, the angels, you know what God told, what Jesus told Abraham, he says, I want to go down and see what it's like. Notice here, he says, I want you to come in, stay all night, wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. Meaning what? Come in, get through the night, get out of here, because I don't want you around anymore. You ever had company like that? Be careful what you say. In other words, Lot was saying what? I don't want you here. Because you're interfering with what I'm doing in my life. And I'm complicit with the sin of this place. But notice what they said, and we're going to stop here today. No, but we'll stay in the street tonight. You can read on. Lot was in a big hurry then to what? To get him into the house. Because you know what would have happened if they were in the street that night? The mob would have come after him. For purposes. Now again, these are angels. We know that God would have worked in that situation too, if that had been the case. But you know what? They really came to that city for what purpose? To rescue Lot. Maybe today God's coming to us for a purpose and he's saying, you know what? You've sat in the gate of Sodom and I've got my hand up. My silence about things is complicity with sin. We've let too many things go, folks. But you know what? God's going to prove us out. My question for us today as we close is, what's he going to find? Are we going to stand for him or not? What's going to happen with Lot? You'll see the rest of the story as we go through it, but it's pretty interesting. And you'll see, again, the satanic forces in play here of a movement, in this case, that had to do with sexual orientation that was not a part of God's ordained program for humanity. And we'll see the viciousness of it and the effects of sin, but we'll also see Lot. And while he was saved from the destruction, he went to further destruction through what he did. And even the results of that in the nation of Israel with the Moabites and, Amorites. Our sin and the fact that it's not made right brings on tragic consequences. Anyway, how low can it go? Well, we're going to see, and we're going to see what happens. But let me ask us today, how much do we love our sin? But even more, how much do we love our Savior? And I invite you today, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, it's plain as the nose on your face, folks. We're sinners. We're corrupt. Bible tells it straight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us in this room, if we really analyzed ourselves, that could say that we do the right things. Whether we're born again or not, we struggle with these areas. We've all done wrong. You know, God's morality is given to us in our conscience. We know, even if we're not saved, right from wrong. But today, folks, I leave it with this. The right thing to do today, if you have not run to the Savior and placed your sin under His blood, is to do that very thing. Separate yourselves. Separate ourselves from the forces of sin and run to the Savior. If you believe you're a sinner, that's the first step. The second step is believing that Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. See? And that He not only came here out of God's love for you, not to destroy you, to love you. Jesus came to love you to heaven, to make you know that it's a free gift. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust that message of the gospel, the good news, you see, and you say, Lord, I need that to cover my sin. I believe you are God's Messiah. You're the Savior. I believe you not only came and died, you were the sacrifice for sin. You covered my sin with your blood, and then you rose again to new life. That's what I want. I want to be cleaned up. I want to be headed on the opposite path of destruction towards the sufficiency of your salvation. Jesus will honor that today in your life. And He'll help those of us that are born again to get these areas right in our life, that we don't end up like Lot, in danger all the time of that sin unto death, because we can't take our eyes off the wrong stuff and our acts off the wrong stuff. Jesus is waiting for you today and for me. We'll see how this goes. But as I said to begin with, don't gamble with God's grace. I'm thankful it's still available to all of us today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Or it's on the screen, 526. I mentioned gambling. But there's no such gamble with the Lord. It's a sure thing. And that's backed up in this song. Jesus never fails. You know, it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus will never let you down. He will never leave us nor forsake us. His word is good, and His personification is good to all those that seek His face. But let me assure us all this, that the face that people will see at the great white throne judgment, the face that these people here saw of Jesus Christ in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that denied Him and that tread upon the good blessings that He gave, a wonderful place, it will not be a face of loving kindness. It will be a face of anger and judgment. Let's go to Him today. Let's get prepared, because you know what, folks? We know time is running out. No matter what, don't leave here today on the wrong side of God. Let's sing. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. May the Lord bless you to this day as we consider these things. Study your Bibles. Lord willing, we'll come back next week and see how this all shook out and God's purpose in it. But understand, He's a wonderful God. Don't forsake Him today. And today I'm going to ask Lonnie to close in prayer.